Hello and welcome to the Beards and Bulldust podcast, episode number 25. I am your co-host, Scott, and we have Aiden.
Hello.
For those of you who might be astutely aware, we didn't do a podcast last week.
Because the place was like sort of flooding.
Yeah. So we didn't do one last week because we were a little bit too preoccupied with trying to not have water in the house, and we had shit everywhere downstairs, which meant we couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a very, very big 2 weeks for us. Quite a lot happened.
Very eventful for the world.
Hey?
Very eventful for the world.
Very eventful everywhere. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, we had heaps amount of rain along the east coast of Australia and quite a lot here in Brisbane. So, I think it was 1,000 mils or something like that over the course of 6 days.
Yeah.
We had, you know, quite a large amount of water coming in and around the back of our place, which made its way down and into the lower parts of the house in spots, not anywhere on the extreme of what other people had to face and continue to face. So our hearts go out to all the people who have lost a lot of stuff. I know my uncle, your great uncle, he's lost everything down in his place. So they had to get evacuated.
Oh.
So they have lost everything.
Yeah.
Car and everything.
Jeez.
All gone. I had to be taken out in like a canoe. That's what happens when you build retirement places and whatnots near water.
Yeah.
And rivers. And they rise and, you know, old people can't move that quick. But sometimes they don't think of that. So he is okay. They are okay. I know there's quite a few other people affected. So if you're affected, feel for you. We got off lightly. Realistically, we had some cleaning up to do, and the garage was full of mud, and some things got wet, but they weren't things that were vital to life. So, we really got off it lightly, just with a lot of sweeping and a lot of fucking hard work and a lot of being wet.
Yeah,
was our biggest part. I think it was like 2 days of just soaking wet. But anyway, that's that. All good. There are plenty of other things around locally. The removal of the mask mandate happened on Friday.
Yep.
So no more masks needed, unless of course you go to hospital or a few other places that I can't quite remember, which is good. I'm very happy with that. There's a lot of people going, oh, we should still keep them, and I'm like, no. I have other words inside my head of what I think of people who think we still need masks, but I won't share those, because masks only work while people wear them properly, and the most people I see who go, we still should be wearing them, don't wear them over their nose or wear them under their chin like it's capturing freaking their lunch when they spill it. Like, if you're going to be pushing to keep wearing a mask, you should be the first one wearing it properly.
Yeah.
And there's plenty who don't. I don't wear mine properly because I don't want to wear one at all. Moving on from that, locally, we went to the mega car meet last night. That was a very big car meet. It was very good.
Yeah.
There was lots of very nice cars.
Yes. Couple of shit ones, as always.
Couple of shit ones. Fair few shit ones. There was some really shit ones. But there was quite a lot of good ones. And more so, more cars than what's ever been there before.
Yeah.
Enough to keep the cop busy anyway.
Yeah. So,
One singular cop on his motorbike.
Hundreds of cars.
Hundreds of cars and then thousands of people. But he was just there just to keep a presence. So, and he was only chasing people who were being stupid right in front of him. So,
yeah,
if you weren't stupid right in front of him, you didn't care. But if you're an idiot right in front of the cop, then you're an idiot. Like,
so like every single Lancer.
Every single Lancer, and that, I think that little silver fucking shitty Hyundai who was the first one to be caught.
Yeah.
Still, it was quite a good evening. It was good to see another Skoda there, which was good. It made two.
Yeah.
It was about 1,000 freaking Volkswagen Golfs, though. Like, every man needs fucking Golf, or as they
are. Lots of Golfs, lots of Lancers.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone fucking hates them.
Everyone hates them. Everyone just, they try and take off and sound really cool. They just don't. Yeah, it was exactly that. That was pure sound of the shitbox Lancer.
And we're not talking about the Evolution ones. Those ones are cool. We're talking about the ES Lancer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just your average fucking car your auntie drives, but with a loud exhaust on it. Right, just shit. More broadly, around the world, we all know about over in Ukraine.
Yeah, fucking Ukraine got invaded.
Russia and the fucking stupid idiots over there doing stuff. The Russia need to pull their head in. They just do.
It's just Putin. A lot of other like a lot of actual like Russians living there don't want
to. Yeah, yeah. There's plenty of the soldiers who don't even want to have anything to do with the conflict. Weren't even told they were going to a freaking conflict. Told them to go and do exercises at the border.
Yeah.
Like, one way to piss your soldiers off is to tell them a fucking lie. Like, that's rule number one you don't do to a soldier is tell them a lie.
Yeah.
You don't send them to their fate on a lie. You tell them the truth. You tell them we're going to invade another country. You just tell them the freaking truth. And disagree with it or no, if they've been told the truth, they will do what they've been asked to do.
Yeah.
But you lie to them, and most of them won't want that. It happens in any army. It happened in the Australian army. If all the leaders lied to all the Australian soldiers to why they were going on a campaign, and then they rocked over there, most of them just go, fucking going anywhere.
Yeah.
Stay right here, thanks. Because you just don't lie. So, yeah, we'll see how that continues to unfold. You know, the UN voted against the Russian occupation of the Ukraine. In a special session. So they've said, Russia, you're not meant to do that. Stop it.
Oh.
And they've not listened.
Yeah.
There was a special council, a security council, I think it was. Russia's on the fucking security council. So they voted, I think, the vote ended up being that, or whatever position they came to, whether it was a vote or not, that it was okay. And because of that, it was then deferred to the UN as a whole, to the General Assembly, and the General Assembly did a special vote and voted against it. Interestingly, there were some countries that voted for it, which I don't have the actuals of that at the moment. The UN take a little while sometimes to get information out, but there were nations that voted against or voted on the side of Russia. I think India was one of those.
Yeah.
Because they have very close ties to Russia. So, and probably China as well, I reckon. Because they take their gas main line from Russia. So we'll see how that goes over the course of the week. So yeah. I feel sorry for the people in Ukraine.
A lot of it is about Ukraine has a area, I think, where there's a lot of, I guess, like natural gases and stuff and all that. And they're just invading it so then they can get that. Because with Ukraine having it, it threatens, because Russia supplies all of Europe with like gases and stuff.
Mm.
And if Ukraine has an easier route to Europe and can do the same thing, they're going to go to Ukraine, and all of Russia's GDP will be gone.
Yeah. And I don't blame the Ukraine. Right? They're not a wealthy nation.
Yeah, they've got to get money.
If they've got an avenue to go with, well, they'd go with it. You know, Russia's not a massively wealthy country neither, but it's vast. It's huge.
Yeah.
And it does have some incredibly rich people. And when we get to the car news, I'll actually talk about some of the vehicle impact to the Russian market and what's happening there from a car standpoint. But more broadly from a people standpoint, you know, you got to feel for the people of the Ukraine, because they're faced with a really difficult situation that most people don't know about, right? They've got to try and now, you know, escape the country, escape the nation, right, and go to other countries. But most of the countries around them are only going to lead them into more fucking trouble. Right, because most of the men will stay and fight. What they'll generally do in those nations, and what, you know, would even happen here, is where the war is, you would send the women and children away. Just get them away, right? Get them to as safe as area as possible. Men stay and fight, right? Because it's you want your families to be safe. I wouldn't want my family standing next to me trying to fight an enemy. Not fucking happening.
Yeah,
where they go. But if they go to somewhere like Romania, you know, one of the neighboring nations or any of the others that neighbor that, they become massively subject to, like, you know, people smuggling and trafficking and stuff like that, because it's massive in Romania. It's a very big risk.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could send your wife and kids to Romania and they could be freaking kidnapped and sent with bloody traffickers.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, it's an unfathomable thing to have to try and make a decision on and make a call on. They're already showing the immigration rates out of, well, yeah, immigration. The refugees are supposed to be immigration, the refugee movements. And they're trying to not go. They're trying to go to Finland, is where they're mainly trying to go.
Yeah. yeah.
and escape to. But Finland's not perfect neither. It's not void of a lot of those things neither. So, you know, you're going from a war to potentially never seeing them again.
Yeah.
Because it'd be bloody people smuggled, trafficked fucking somewhere, be fucking someone's fucking pet. Like, that's, it just blows my mind. And it further blows my mind that the UN's just done a vote and just gone, stop doing it. He ain't going to listen. Only one thing he's going to listen to. And that's having enough stand up to him and actually push his bloody army back into Russia and say, stay your fucking ass there. You know, and Russia's tried to do hacking things to anyone who's responded. Like, Toyota is an example further down. Toyota said, we're not sending any more cars there. One of the first manufacturers, by the way, to say, no cars to Russia. When the moment they fucking said that, their systems were hacked.
Yeah.
And everything was fucking shut down.
Yeah, there's a sort of quote-unquote cyber war happening.
Yep, yep. I was the same. Someone tried to create a fucking duplicate profile of me and tried to fucking scam my followers. Big fucking problem there. I don't have that many followers, and most of them just sent me a message going, why'd you say that? Because it sounded nothing like me. If you're going to try and replicate someone, you got to at least try and sound like them and not sound like some fucking 8-year-old robot from some weird-ass country. Because that's sort of what it sounded like. Like, see, trying to say I had freaking throat cancer or something, I couldn't talk because my vocal cords were removed, so I was communicating on a text line. Like, what? Who the fuck says that? Who says that? I'm communicating on a text line. That one statement there should have most people going, what? Who?
It's the Russians. They're trying to...
It's the Russians.
Your 200 followers.
Like, I don't want to say it in a Russian accent, but you'd almost hear it in a Russian accent. Anyway, we resolved that after a while, and I did the usual things of resetting my passwords, but they didn't actually hack into my account. They just replicated it and tried to communicate, which is what they do. They do it to everyone. Nearly every single person I follow that does some sort of competition, there's always a copycat page that pops up to try and scam people.
Yeah.
And what they don't realize is that most people just go, take a screenshot, send it to the original person and go, someone's copying your profile, we've blocked it. And then they share it and it gets blocked anyway.
Yeah. And then, like, mass recorded.
Yeah, yeah. So it's you know, I'm hoping it's doing something, but...
It's just a scam, you know. Some poor old nanny that's like...
Well, the stupidest thing of all of that was... I put a post on Facebook about it, telling everyone that I'd been, you know, someone had done a duplicate profile, don't accept any friend requests, don't click on any links, all that type of shit. And I may have made a few comments about the what I would likely do to the balls of the individual who had done that. And I got fucking Facebook fucking pulled me up and gave me a fucking bad mark because of I violated their community standards. It's like, how about you go and talk to the hacker and the person who scanned my profile and say, you violated the community standards because you copied to be pretended to be someone else.
No, because that's perfectly fine, but you can't make fun of people. That will hurt
them. You can't make fun of them. Like, that's just bizarre. Just, it shows you whose fucking side they're on when it comes to the fucking end of it. They're not on your side.
No? I've gotten warnings on Instagram because I make comments. It's like some joke or something. Yeah. And then I make a comment about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I get done in for that.
Yeah, get
done. Or someone says something stupid and I point them out for saying something stupid.
Yep.
But apparently that offends them too much.
It offends them too much. Yeah, the offense button is too easy to access.
Yeah, really. It's a whole thing. You can report it because
it's
offensive or I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Fucking suck it up.
No, you should not be able to report something because you don't like it. If it's massively inappropriate, yes. Yeah. But just because you don't agree with it or like it should not... What I should have... And it's something that I've wanted them to put on for a long time. It's actually have a dislike button.
Yeah.
So you know you have like a little heart button on Instagram. And on Facebook you have the like button. And you can have a laughing one and all that type of bullshit. But you can't have a dislike.
Yeah, because that'll hurt people's feelings.
Yeah, you can't openly dislike something. Which is weird because when someone puts something on their social media that's heartbreaking or that they're having a rant about like I did... You don't have the option to go, I agree with them and I dislike that. That also makes me angry. You sort of can't. You're sort of limited to what you can do to not hurt someone's feelings. It's really, really bizarre and, it's, you know,
on
crazy.
On YouTube, they've removed the dislike button again.
Mm.
So you can dislike a video, but there's no like number saying how much it's disliked. Which on YouTube, it's even more important because you want feedback to make your content better.
Mm.
And I think the YouTubers who uploaded the video can still see what the dislikes are. But like, what about, you know, I guess everyone else? Like,
well, especially, you know, like the likes of YouTube and stuff, where, you know, people are trying to make good content. And you don't know if you're making good content if you can't get any feedback mechanism going.
Yeah.
You need that feedback mechanism. If you make something, people go, that's shit. You go, oh, fuck, is it? But if you just see one, like someone's disliked it, you go, oh, someone's just being an ass. Like, you don't know whether you've actually produced something that's a turd or whether someone's just being a turd. Like, you need to be able to get that feedback mechanism happening.
And even if the YouTubers can see it, why remove it then? Like, why can't we see the dislikes? What's the problem with that?
Yeah, yeah.
Because their YouTube's reason was, it's like, what was it? My brain stopped working again. I forgot. It's to restrict, like, you know, cyber attacks and, like, mass disliking or whatever.
Mass disliking.
Like, getting a group of your friends to dislike some random person's video. They can still see the dislikes. It's just we can't. So what's the point?
They can all still do it. It just doesn't show as a number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit weird.
It is a weird thing. It is very weird. On to the old lady update. Probably haven't seen her much this week because it's been raining and shitty and half the week haven't actually been at school.
Yeah, I was only here. I was only at school on Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, such has been the fucking our world. It's just like rain and storms and fucking...
War happening in another country. War
happening and then... Friday was meant to be another big massive storm here, and it turned out to be one of the best days we've had in like fucking 2 months.
Yeah.
It's like fucking sunny and clear, and it's like, geez, if I knew it was going to be like this, I'd take the day off and go to the beach. Like, it's closed schools and all sorts of stuff. Like, it's good for people doing recovery work and you know, trying to clear floodwaters, but
yeah,
it's tad unnecessary. Anyway, you know, weather's not an exact science. On to some car news. So, some good car news this week. Some varied car news. The Porsche Cayenne has been recalled again. The 2020 Porsche Cayenne.
What's wrong with it?
Well, the first time it was recalled was last year in June, where 92 of them, so 92 of the 1,300 cars that had been made, had to go back because of a trailing arm failure on the back of the car, or potential for a trailing arm failure. So, the trailing arm sort of holds all the shit into the back of the car, like diffs and axles and shit, like holds it all together.
Yeah.
Starts it moving around. So they took them all in, they got them all fixed, and now they've called 70 of them back because the thing they used to fix it could actually like make it worse. So they fixed the potential break of the trailing arm, and what they've now done realized is the new bit they put in could make it all sort of sit misaligned and not straight and wear tires out really, really rapidly to the point where you could just be on the highway and the tire would just explode.
What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. So 70 of them have got to go back again. Only the KN. Only KN. It's not all the other ones. It's just the KN. Only the 2020. So I think some dudes put the wrong part on at the factory.
Yeah.
And now they've tried to fix it and realized that wasn't part of really the problem. But anyway, so if you own one of those, which you probably freaking don't, but if you do, you've got to take it back in. On to other news. They may be redoing Bullet. Yeah, the movie Bullet.
No.
Steve McQueen has the green Mustang. They did the tribute of it on the new Mustang in that really dark forest green.
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. Well,
I think I know the Mustang, but I don't know the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll have to watch the movie because Bullet is really good. They're remaking it.
With the new Mustang.
Things are underway. Well, they don't know whether it's going to be new, it's going to be old, it's going to be repair the old one. It's being done by Steven Spielberg, so it's probably going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to be shit like most of the remakes are.
Yeah.
But the information is pretty vague on whether it's actually going to be new cars or it's going to be the classic Mustang. I'm hoping the classics. I hope they just redo the classics.
I feel like they'll do that.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye out for that. On to some news on Russia. Car news on Russia. So I did some research to figure out who has stopped making or producing cars or sending cars to Russia. Turns out nearly all of them. So the Volkswagen, Porsche, and Bentley are the latest to halt exports to Russia.
Yeah.
So that will hurt them. Bentleys and shit. Big ass Volkswagens and Porsches. They're all your Russian billionaires and they're going to be anything to buy. Skoda and Volkswagen have also shut down their Russian manufacturing plants.
Oh.
So they produce some Skodas. I don't know exactly which models, but they produce some Skodas and Volkswagens there. If it's Skoda and Volkswagen, I say it might be like the Superb and the Passat or something. Maybe. I'm not sure. But they've closed their manufacturing plant, as has Mercedes, who had just not long opened a $1 billion plant in Russia, and they've shut it.
Jeez.
So whatever is being made there isn't now. So maybe a bit of a loss on that. And following on from Toyota, who was the first one to make the call on it and not send cars over there anymore, also have BMW, Ford, GM, Volvo, Jaguar Land Rover, Harley Davidson, and Daimler Trucks Group. So Daimler Trucks are like proper sized trucks.
So you can still get a Kia and a Hyundai in Russia.
Well, I think there's some that don't really go there anyway, like Nissan, because Nissan sold like 28,000 cars or something in Russia, of the 1.52 million new cars that were sold in 2021.
Yeah.
So they do take in a lot of cars. So, you know, all those cars that export into there, so are built in other countries, they're going to now need to be disseminated around the world because they'll have all those cars sitting somewhere.
Yeah.
So might be some good deals to pick up there. You might be able to pick yourself up a cheap Bentley.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, might only cost you $1 million. And the ones that have been manufactured over there are obviously going to be a dead loss, because if they're only manufacturing those cars at that plant, which they might not be, that's going to cause a shortage of whatever those ones are.
Yeah.
So that's the impact. So, you know, Russia's going to feel it. 1.25 million vehicles. So, you know, part of the reasons, and Toyota's, one of Toyota's reasons, whilst Ukraine was one of those reasons, where people weren't making their payments.
Oh.
And they weren't able to get the money. So with some of those manufacturers, they were actually like, people were taking the fucking car and just going. They're not paying for it. Fleet sales and stuff, not paying invoices and not paying for the cars.
Yeah.
It's just like, Russia's just like, nope, got war. Thanks for the Toyota. So, yeah, there's a few reasons. Ukraine is the main one for nearly all of them.
Yeah.
So they've all pulled out of doing it, and naturally, you know, manufacturers like Volvo and stuff are anyway, because Sweden's very much opposed to Russia's invasion of the Ukraine.
Yeah.
They've been supporting the Ukraine with a variety of things.
Because their flags have the same color.
I think so. It just makes it easy. It's color coding done easy. On to a bit of gaming news, because people said we're talking about cars too much. So we'll go to some gaming news. Gran Turismo 7 is out.
Yeah!
Yay! So we've both been playing that. That was released on Friday last week.
I just went mentally insane over one race.
Yep.
It was really, really wet.
And the wet races are just are insane. They're so hard to handle any of the cars.
Especially when you have like a really, really light rear-wheel drive S15.
Yeah, yeah. It's really odd that there's such a grip difference. I don't know whether it's something they need to tune up in a future release on the dynamics. It did a race, one of the races earlier today, and it was, you know, it was sort of sprinkling and it was a little bit slippery. And then it fully started rain, and between one corner and the next corner, it went from being sort of drivable to absolutely undrivable.
Yeah, I think...
with no warning, and I just drove straight on into the grass and hit a wall. Like, it's just... I know they're going for realism, and I've seen that happen in supercars many times, but it's like, it's just a little bit too much of a shock.
I think the game engine just kind of has a thing where it snaps from, like, you can still control it, it's fine, to, okay, fucking...
yeah.
Struck traction out the window.
Yep.
You're going to spin out every corner.
Yeah.
And have no traction on the straights.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's some of it is... I can't remember what car I was driving, but I was going down the straight, and I could feel it starting to go sideways. And the more I tried to do stuff to not make it go sideways, the more it just kept on. It was like it was locked into going sideways and there was nothing I could do about it.
Yeah.
And then some goose hit me from behind and then I went around in about 1,000 circles.
Yeah, some corners I was going around and I had AI guys hitting me like, okay, please, please, I'm sorry for overtaking you. Yeah, just don't hit me.
Don't hit me. There's some good parts to it. I'm happy the full spec is back. I'm happy you're able to fully tune a car.
GT Auto.
Yeah, the way you want to. I'm starting to like the wide body thing. I think I wide body two cars now. I did the Porsche.
I've got a bit of a problem with when you put the wide body, mm-hmm. and even when you put on the wider wheels, when you put on new wheels, yep. you still just have this like massive fender, but your wheels are really in.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look too good.
Yeah, yeah. It needs to flatten the fender out a bit or something or push the wheels closer or something.
More offset on the wheels.
Yeah, yeah. I don't mind the dynamic weather. I find it mixes it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And just makes it a little bit more interesting. It's much better than just like in sport. I think Bathurst had one time a day where it was just like a wet track. Didn't like that.
Yeah.
Just didn't like it. It just wasn't fun. I found the AI to be a little bit better.
Yeah.
So the cars do move around and respond a little bit more.
They're much more aggressive.
They're more aggressive, but when you're beside them, they know you're there and they just don't steer into you like they did in previous games. A couple of things I dislike. I dislike all the talking. It's like playing a fucking Pokemon game sometimes.
Yeah.
So much talking from people. I don't care about the history of the Volkswagen. I don't care. I can read about it myself. I don't need some dude in a cafe to tell me.
Yeah.
Cafe is a weird concept, but I find it a little bit charming and I sort of like it.
Sort of campaign progression thing.
Yeah. It's fun. Yeah. Don't really like the soundtrack.
Yeah.
I just don't. I don't mind some of the classic songs and stuff, but as a whole, there's some of the songs. It's one of the songs I think is saying shit in the song.
What?
Yeah, there is. I gotta find it, but it sounds like it's just the dude saying shit. Shit. Like it's. I think he's saying something else. But when you're trying to drive and race, and you've got all the car noises, and you just hear this shit. Like, it's a dude swearing at me. So yeah, it's just odd. But overall, I am liking it. I'm liking some of the classic tracks being back.
It's better than sport. We can say that.
Yep, much better than sport. Much better than sport. It'd be interesting to see the difference between a PlayStation 4 and a PlayStation 5. Not too much. Like load time, we know would be better, but the actual gameplay would be interesting to see the difference in the quality of the gameplay.
What, just graphics?
Just graphics and stuff to see if it's any better. I mean, it's fine as it is. Like I've no problems with the graphics as it is. It seems a little bit sparse sometimes, but it would be just interesting to see if it actually changed.
Yeah.
In other gaming news, there are early talks about doing a Fallout New Vegas 2.
Oh. Are they going to get Obsidian?
Yep. It's been sort of leaked that Microsoft are in discussions with Obsidian around a Fallout New Vegas 2.
Does Bethesda still have the rights to Fallout?
Well, Bethesda and Obsidian are under the same overarching name brand. So
I thought they split.
Yeah, yeah, the two businesses split, but they're owned by the same parent company type thing.
Oh, okay.
Who can, dictate who does what. And so there is grounds, apparently, for Obsidian to do Fallout New Vegas 2.
I was playing Fallout New Vegas probably early this month, but then I couldn't. Is my hard drive and stuff, but that's cool to see because after Fallout New Vegas, Obsidian did The Outer Worlds, which came out a few years ago.
Yep,
that was really good.
Yeah, Outer Worlds was good. So it would be good. I'm hoping they do it. It's only really early. Apparently, it's still years and years away. But that's
something to look forward to in 10 years.
Yeah, apparently there's now meetings where Microsoft and Obsidian are openly talking about the actual game itself.
Yeah.
And starting to do concepts. So that will be really, really good if that becomes a thing.
Yeah.
I think everyone will be freaking looking forward to that because Bethesda just fucking can't.
76 was terrible.
76 was terrible. Like,
just give it back to Obsidian. They did a good job.
Yeah. 76's game quality and visual quality was good.
It's just not a multiplayer game.
It's not a multiplayer game. Like, there was bits of it
wasn't well balanced.
Like the having the monstrous scorch beast, is fine for trying to bring people together, but if you come across one of those fuckers by yourself, you can't run quick enough and you can't hide. It will just freaking, I think I hid in a freaking train station for like a day trying to wait for the fucker to go away. When everyone works together, they can be taken down, but there is just that whole multiplayer that ruined it for me. Whole multiplayer, a dead set ruined it for me so much that I can't watch YouTuber talk about a game because all I hear is those two dimwits that destroyed all my stuff and made me hate the game.
What?
Well, when I was playing the game, I got the notification saying my house, my camp was being raided, and granted I put my camp right next to the road, and granted it was massive, and granted it had Fallout Boy statues at the front, but by the time I made my way all the way back, they'd had destroyed half of it. And I got the shits, and I went into the fridge inside the house, took out all the mini nukes I had and all the big hardware and all the stuff I had, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize this was my house. The fuck can you not realize it was your house? It's by the edge of a fucking river and it's got fucking Fallout Boy fucking statues out the front. I think you'd know if it wasn't your fucking house. You know it's not your house. Anyway, it was right behind it was a cliff. So I went to the top of the cliff and just lobbed mini nukes and grenades and all sorts of every bit of heavy hardware I had into the place.
Yeah.
It just destroyed the whole fucking thing, turned it off, went up, fucking out.
I remember you playing it and I was watching it once and there was a naked man with like...
with the knife.
With a knife.
And he was so hard to fucking kill.
Because the gun just was shit.
The gun I had was shit and it was just this dude running around in his fucking underpants... with a knife, skitzing out, chasing people down. And I know, like, that's funny.
Yeah.
Right, but then you get other people, and the problem is that the bounty system was rubbish that they had. So, you know, when those two dimwits went and attacked my stuff, they got, like, a 10 fucking coin bounty or something insignificant put on their heads.
Yeah.
When I went to the top of the hill and nuked the shit out of everything, including those two mini nukes and stuff, I got like 1,000 or something.
Oh.
Like, I'm defending my house. It's not my fault they're inside it and I'm blowing the shit up out of them as well.
Yeah.
And then this other, like, fucking 8-year-old came and rocked up and was hanging around them like a fucking puppy, like, trying to fucking befriend them and go with them. And I'm like, well, you're in it too. Fucking boom, boom. And then after that, I turned it off.
Yeah.
It's not a multiplayer game.
I reckon
single player. You want to have a multiplayer world? Fucking go for it. But there should always be the opportunity to be single player. It's Fallout. It's a fucking solo game.
Yeah.
You know, all you need is some NPCs wandering around saying stupid shit over and over again, like the dude in Fallout 4. That's all you need. Other than that, it send everyone else off into another world. If 76 had a solo player world, it would be a good game.
Yeah,
it really would, because some of the spaces in that game were fantastic. But they just fucked it with letting everyone on there. But
I think that either what they should have done was give Fallout 4 like a multiplayer mode or something to experiment with it to see if people actually like it, instead of putting all their time and effort into a new game to have it be exclusively multiplayer, and then everyone fucking hates it, and then your fucking business is screwed.
Yeah, because, I mean, it wouldn't matter what they came out with in the way of another Fallout game. I'd go, nah, not interested. Obsidian, yes.
Yeah.
But
we've seen that they can still make games.
Yeah. It's just, I think they tried to go in a direction, I think it was too much.
Yeah.
So, anyway, their own doing. Right, so that's all the news done. And we did some gaming. So all the people who cry that we don't do anything other than cars can stop crying now. Oh, wipe your eyes, you're fine.
Like one of my friends.
Wipe your eyes, you're fine. So, on to the tips for young bucks today. What I want to talk about is not taking anything for granted. So I've seen a few even at the car show, actually. There's a lot of people take too many things for granted. Right? They don't worry or have any appreciation for any of their stuff or anything that, you know, is in their care, whether that be a a boyfriend, a girlfriend, your car, your lunch, whatever it might be. And it's important. It's important to always show, be appreciative. I give you a really, really good example for this. Many, many years ago, when I was a young man, I was probably 16, so I was a boy still. I had a girlfriend at the time, and at that time I was in cadets. And each year you go away for 1 week, you go to Singleton, which is near Newcastle in New South Wales. It's the infantry training center, and you go there for a week and you do your annual camp, and you have a bunch of kids running around pretending to be soldiers and, you know, getting mud on their face and stuff like that. And when I went away, my girlfriend at the time said, write to me while you're away. Right? I'm like, yeah, I know, I will. I didn't.
No.
I didn't write. I didn't think I needed to be honest. So my, if I can head up my own ass so freaking far, I didn't think I needed to. Fast forward to when I get back, and guess what? I don't have anymore.
A girlfriend.
Yeah. And she was a very nice girl. She really was. She was a very nice girl. She's not a like bitchy thing or anything like that, or, you know, over the top. Completely my own doing, because I didn't appreciate what I'd had. I was so consumed with myself that I didn't appreciate others. And it can go, you know, beyond that. Nearly everything you have or you will get throughout your lives, if you don't appreciate it and show value for it, you'll lose it really, really quick. And it's taken me a long time to learn myself to appreciate what I have. I now appreciate nearly everything I have, mainly because I've had to work so damn hard for nearly fucking all of it. I appreciate everything I have, and it makes a big difference on the value of what you've got. If you don't appreciate it, it's got no value.
Yeah.
So you see so many of it, and you know, especially the people with all the fucking cars, I don't even appreciate what they've got in one single way.
Yeah.
Even the shit boxes. Like, I understand it's a shit box. I understand that. I understand that it's going to drive it into the ground, like the dudes in the Tarago, right? That was the standout from the Mega Meet, was those guys in that van.
Yeah.
Fucking, that was insane. That was hilarious. But to broadly, you have to appreciate what you have. You have to accept the fact that you have to put in work to getting value, and you have to go with that. You see too many younger men, younger women, anyone that take everything they have for granted. I've seen throughout my life, I've seen kids who've taken their parents for granted. I've seen men take their wives for granted. I've seen women take their husbands and kids for granted and ended up losing fucking all of it. You know, I've seen it time and time and time again, and it all comes down at the end to having appreciation and showing things the appreciation it deserves. That's all it is.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And it seems like such a trivial thing, but it will make such a big difference on the quality of person you attract, quality of person you are, the quality of your life. Everything falls around the appreciation you have for things. So it's a very big thing, and it's a very big thing to be aware of, because you can end up losing things of great value that, you know, had you done the right thing, maybe you wouldn't have. Yeah. Maybe you would have. Who knows?
It applies to me, because, like, I'm very, you know, privileged to, I'm not even going to have to buy my first car. Like, people don't know, when I turn 17, I'm going to get your Skoda.
Yep.
So I'm not going to actually have to save up the thousands of dollars to buy some what was going to be a shitbox Falcon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now I can have, like, a car worth, like, $8,000. That's reliable. It works and everything is good. I like it. And, yeah, if I, like, you know, if I get it and I don't take it for, and I do take it for granted, it's going to turn into shit. You might not even end up giving it to me if I just, like, you know, don't care about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Look, and you'll end up losing stuff. Like, you'll end up, if you get a car, whether you buy it or you get given it, if you don't look after it to some degree, it'll stop. The moment it stops, it's worthless.
Yeah.
right? Cars are worthless if they're not running, especially newer cars. Like classic cars and old cars, there's still some value in it, but you lose value very, very quickly if it's not running.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, important to, you know, keep it and look after it and show appreciation for stuff.
Because even if you don't like it, you can then still, like, there's still a market out there of people who do like it, who aren't like you, and they do like it. So you make it all nice.
Yep.
You get it in good condition, and then you sell it, and then get what you want.
Go and get what you want. Yeah.
Instead of trashing all over it.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Then, yeah. Like, it's the same with the, with my car, with the Skoda. Like, I don't expect you to keep that car forever.
Yeah. Right. I'll sell it at some point and get a shitty Japanese car.
A shitty Japanese car. Like, I don't expect you to keep it forever. But it's getting you off to a good stead. And the reason I'm doing that is because when I started out, I had to go and finance a car. And it's you start off struggling a lot already.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to choose to go and do an apprenticeship, which I never did, but if you're going to do your apprenticeship, you're already going to struggle. You're already going to have things you're going to have to battle through. And it's not a... It's not a big thing. It's a big enough thing to give is a car. But it's not massive. It's not going to end my world that we don't have fucking two cars that are ours in the garage.
Yeah.
Right. Not at the moment, because I take the bus. And I've taken my car into the city probably two times for work, three times at most for work.
Yeah.
I take the bus. You know, I want to get a motorbike at some point, running anyway, so it's not massive.
It is going to change my world. I'm going to have money for food and fuel.
Well, yeah, and it gets you off to a good, you know, it gets you off to a good start. You've already got something that's reliable. You've already got something that's cheap enough to run, like it is very cheap on fuel to run.
Yeah.
It'll give you good, reliable freedom, and you always have to, when you become a parent, you have to draw a balance between giving them something that's going to keep them safe and giving them something that they're going to have to value. So you see a lot of parents will go and buy, you know, their freaking teenage daughter a Polo, right, or something like that.
Yeah.
Incredibly safe cars, right? They are very, very safe cars. Boring as batshit and no personality. and the biggest thing I found, which, you know, it's one of my things I steal from Jeremy Clarkson, is a car has to have flaws. Any car that has flaws is memorable.
Yeah.
Cars I've had that don't have flaws, which I really don't think have been any, are not memorable. So you don't want something that's completely boring. You want something that, you know, has like an attitude and a personality to it. And it seems like it has things it likes and dislikes, and you have to learn how to look after that and manage the car. And the Skoda is no different.
Yeah.
Right? The Skoda doesn't like real bumpy stuff. It doesn't like a few different things. Doesn't like accelerating really, really hard over undulating ground. The traction control kicks in, has a few wobblies. Doesn't like that type of stuff. Doesn't really like the wet too much.
Yeah.
So it has personality to it. And if you go and go the opposite path, right, and then, you know, make you go and buy your own car, you'll have to go and buy something really, really cheap. It's going to be shit, and you're going to have to bury all your money into just to go to fucking work each day.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing for me to get you starting out on. Like, that's just... You need to be able to get started on the best footing that I can give you, and the best footing I can give you is that car. And it'll be the same for your brother, and it'll be the same for your sister. That's the best footing we can get started on, and then it's up to you as an individual to then take it from there.
Yeah.
And not all families are going to have that, right? Some families are going to go down the path of, well, you've got to find your own way all the way through life because I had to. I disagree with that. I'm not saying that those people are wrong and those parents are wrong. Everyone makes their own decisions, but I don't agree with that. Because the job of the previous generation is to help the next generation be better. If you're just going to show and make the next generation repeat what you had to repeat, then you're not fucking going to get better.
Yeah.
And you see it in many, many family generations. So you start to get older like me, you see family generations. And the families that have the ethos of, I struggled, you need to struggle, always struggles through the generations. They don't get anywhere any further than the previous one because they've all fucking had to start from the bottom and struggle up again.
Yeah.
Those that have built through one generation, passed enough on to the next generation where they still have to go and do their own struggles to a degree, but they've got a little bit of a leg up, build on that over the generations, and it gets bigger and better as it goes along.
Yeah.
Those generations that just take the entire fucking family wealth and spoon feed the next generations end up fucking it up anyway, because they just end up ungrateful sons of bitches.
Yeah.
So there's a balance to really be had there, which we're trying to strike, which I sort of think we're doing. Rightio. On to Stoic quote. This is a pretty quick Stoic quote. It's from my favorite Stoic, Epictetus.
Epictetus.
Yeah, Epictetus is at it again. This one is, make the best use of what is in your power and take the rest as it happens.
What does that mean?
Well, last week, for example, when we had all the rain and all the flooding, the only thing we could do that was in our power at the time was worry about clearing the water from the upper part of our yard.
Yeah.
The upper part of the house. To stop it going into the main part of the house. We couldn't do anything about where that water went after that, including down the side of the house and underneath the house and into the fucking garage and all through all the stuff and like all that. Couldn't control that. We had to let that go. We had to let that continue as it happens. What we could control was the vast amount of water not going to the main part of the house. So this quote is around that. It is controlling or doing the best, making the best of what you have that's in your power and letting everything else happen and just be what it's going to be. And you'll have that all the way through life. You will have it through work life. I've had it through work life all the way through my working life, right? Just making the best of what I have in my power at the time and everything else just doing what it's going to do. So, you know, some days going to work, the best you can do is just fucking rocking up at work.
Yeah.
Right, and everything else just resolves itself. Especially when I started at Meatworks and I was a labourer. You'd go out there, you drive all the way, get up in the morning, about 4 in the morning, go to the Meatworks, stand in a big fucking queue. They would work their way through the fucking people and decide who works that day and who doesn't.
Uh-huh.
So you might get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, go all the way there, and be told to go home. No pay, no nothing. Drive yourself all the way home, next day, all the way back. Nothing.
Yeah.
Go home again. What was in my power was to continue to rock up every day. Because what I found was after like a week, I was like at the front only because everyone else wasn't rocking up every day.
Yeah.
And then I was doing like 4 days a week. And then shortly after that, I was on there full time and made my way from there. So it's making the most of what's in your power, letting everything else just take its course. And then whatever happens, happens. That's what that quote is about.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. On to Australia's Prime Ministers. So, last time, last episode, please don't remember, we were at Prime Minister number 13, James Scanlon, did some things, can't remember. Anyway, this week, we're on to number 14, we're on to a man called Joseph Lyons. Pretty much people don't remember Joseph Lyons. I certainly don't. I don't even know if they named anything after him, which is a real shame. So, Mr. Lyons was born in 1879 to parents of Irish descent. So, an Australian born. His father was born in Australia to Irish parents, and his mother was born in Ireland and immigrated to Australia, which made him the first Prime Minister to have an Australian-born parent.
Oh.
So, given we're at 1939 or something, thereabouts, 1938 or something, took a while.
Yeah.
But first Australian with an Australian-born parent. In 1887, so when he was 2, his father lost all their money, all their savings, everything, betting on the Melbourne Cup.
Oh.
Lost everything, forced him into poverty.
Jeez.
At that point in time, they'd had a family business, which was a bakery and like a butcher shop, so little two style business, had to sell that and go and become just a general labourer.
Yeah.
Because he lost fucking the whole lot. So just imagine that. Like, just fucking coming home one day and realizing you have nothing.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. A bad gambling habit. Really bad gambling habit. Fucking gambled their entire family money.
Yeah.
To that. Took a long time for the to recover from that. You know, to sell the business. He worked jobs as a child. Like, he was a printer messenger boy. You know, like running stuff around for printers and stuff. And done some stuff as a farmhand. It was just like clearing crops and stuff like that. As a kid.
Yeah.
When he turned 15, he became a pupil teacher. So another one of these pupil teachers. And eventually worked his way up to becoming a teacher and worked at a variety of schools and colleges and stuff. Was always in trouble with the education department because he always spoke up about the poor conditions.
Yeah.
Teachers had to experience, and he also spoke up about political views, which they didn't like in the Department of Education at that time. He was elected into the Tasmanian state government in 1909.
No, not Tasmania.
Yeah, into Taswegian government. So he had to give up his teaching position for that. Couldn't be a teacher and in government. They didn't want that. So he had to give up it, and he had to take a pay cut. So he went from £125 per year to £100 per year.
That's not a lot of money.
So school teachers were making more than politicians back in the day. Uh-huh. That's not a lot of money. £100 a year to be in state government. So moving on from that, he became Premier of Tasmania in 1923 and stayed in that position until 1929. So he was a Premier before coming into federal parliament. Ran in 29 for federal parliament in Tasmania, won that, and subsequently in 1931, when they had to have the election because Mr. Scanlon stepped down or whatever the hell he did, I can't remember now, his United Australia Party won that election and he became Prime Minister.
Yeah.
In 1931. He needed a few of the sort of smaller parties to top up his government to make a majority government, which he did. It was meant to include the Country Party, whatever it was, but they didn't want to do that, so it was a few others. Because he came into federal politics and into being Prime Minister during the Depression, there was a lot of stuff he did to help try and get people into jobs. Some of that wasn't very good. So his first lot of stuff he did was cut pensions and maternity allowances and everything like that. Cut them right back. Stripped them. He also cut public servant wages. So any public servant working in any of the government sectors, massive pay cut.
Jeez.
Which is not uncommon in like a depression type environment. You need to cut your government spending. One of your biggest government spends is wages, people.
Yeah.
So cuts are inevitable in those sessions. His second budget reversed wage cuts and offered tax cuts for people and businesses. So trying to build and trying to get people to employ more people, trying to cut that unemployment rate. So offered better wages, offered tax cuts and stuff like that so that businesses could have savings there. In 1933, Western Australia voted to separate from the Federation.
Oh.
So at that point in time, they were part of the, you know, well, they still are part of the Federation, but they wanted to separate in 1933 and not be part of the Federation anymore, actually become their own nation, which they fucking should have because they act like one anyway. It was blocked, however. So the vote passed. The people of Western Australia voted to separate from the Federation. It was a vast majority vote. It was blocked by federal government, who deemed the vote to be unconstitutional. Western Australia appealed that with the British government, who also turned them down. So they weren't allowed to separate from the Federation. They were forced to remain.
So Western Australia wanted to be their own country.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have had like Australia and Western Australia.
Western Australia.
But trust me, it's another country.
Another country.
It's not another state.
Yeah. And that's why now, to this day, they don't want to follow anyone else's thing. It's like, no, we'll do our own thing, thanks. They've always been like that. So, but anyway, they tried to, and it got blocked. He established the ABC in 1932.
Oh.
Yeah. And he also put through and got in place the Tax Assessment Act of 1936, which meant that people had to do like tax assessments and stuff like that. Like it was an accountable thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, they were those things, his main things. Sorry for the noise of me turning paper. In 1938, he started making plans to retire. So by that time, he was sort of getting a little bit old and weary and tired of politics, so he wanted to retire. And he wanted to retire from Prime Minister. The problem he had was there was no worthy successor to the party leadership to become Prime Minister. So they made him stay. They said, don't retire, made him stay. But he started making plans. He renovated his house down in Devonport, Tasmania. He moved his children down there so they could start going back to local schools and not being going to big schools up in Canberra. On April 5th, 1939, he suffered a heart attack whilst being driven from Melbourne to Sydney. He just picked up his son from a boarding school or something and was making his way through. He wasn't driving at the time because he's Prime Minister, so he had a chauffeur. The following day after that, on April 6th, he was then no longer able to speak and fading in and out of consciousness. And on the 7th of April, he passed away, fell into a coma and passed away.
Oh, geez.
So he was the first Prime Minister to die while in office. Hadn't happened before. You know, there'd been former Prime Ministers pass away, but not pass away while in office. So there was actually no process for appointing like another person into the Prime Minister's role upon his death. All the constitutional stuff was based on the previous person standing down and that being the process. There was no process of he's dead, now what?
Yeah.
So the then leader of the Country Party, who held the next biggest sort of, I guess, bunch of seats, called an emergency cabinet meeting and took up temporary appointment as Prime Minister until the party voted for a new Prime Minister.
Yeah.
So, a very interesting life, and then probably not one that's massive, but did some very critical things throughout his early time. One of the things that was really interesting, and I'm sure I wrote notes for it here somewhere. Did I write notes for it? Oh, yeah. In 1926, whilst he was doing a tour, like a tour over to Western Australia, his chauffeur collided with a train in the car he was travelling in, and it severely broke his leg. Offside, I think maybe in the Treasure or something at the time, he was in the car with him, died about 2 days later from the crash.
Jeez.
So, managed to survive quite a fair bit.
Yeah.
Quite a fair bit of hardship and stuff like that throughout his time. And was the first one, you know, and that April 7th of that year was Good Friday.
Oh.
That's when he passed away. It was Good Friday.
Yeah.
So they had, I think it was Easter Monday, I think, when they had his funeral and stuff like that. But yeah, that's the story of Mr. Lyons. Mr. Joseph Lyons.
Kind of unlucky that he, you know, died before he could retire.
Yeah, yeah, I sort of feel for him for that, because, you know, you'd be wanting to retire but having other people tell you to stay on and then have that, you know, chances are he probably would have retired and probably would have had the heart attack anyway. It's not like he probably wouldn't have at some point, but if there was an underlying issue there or something like that. But it's still rather sad to have that happen in that style. And the next Prime Minister is actually probably one of the... Well, not the first, because I knew about Barton. Probably the second Prime Minister I knew about is the next one. So that will be... I know that will be interesting again, because he was a very charismatic person. So
next Prime Minister would be Prime Minister during the start of World War One. I mean, World War Two.
World War Two. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
So it was 1939 to 1945.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, he definitely would have. So that will be interesting. That'll be a very interesting time. So,
did Australia have a big sort of presence or role in World War II?
Yeah, we committed quite a lot of troops and Air Force and Navy and stuff.
Yeah.
To World War II. So yeah, it was a very big commitment, and World War II sort of started seeing some things return to Australia, and you know, we had war come to Australia in World War II.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we had the bombing of Darwin, we had the Jap subs.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And one of the books I have upstairs, which I got from a library, has, you know, people's stories, like real world stories of people's experiences during World War II.
Oh.
And one of them from the Volunteer Corps, which was back here in Australia, which was mainly old World War I vets and people who couldn't go to war, formed Volunteer Corps back in Australia and manned things in Australia. And they had camps set up in the main parks of Melbourne and stuff like that. And, you know, watching posts and listening posts and all that type of stuff set up. And,
yeah,
you know, you had the Japs come in and try and make their way into Sydney Harbour and stuff like that. So, It was one of those wars where Australia's involvement was more because we had conflict come to us.
Yeah, which is rare.
Yeah, which is, you know, I think the only really freaking time we've had conflict come to us.
Yeah.
So it was significant because the war got so close. And that's a big thing. I guess the big thing for me is my grandfather on my side served in World War II. He was in the Air Force.
Oh.
And he was based in Darwin.
Oh.
So he was like the Air Force base guard, like guard the bases and stuff like that. So
yeah.
Yeah, so he was in Darwin.
Was he there at the bombing?
I'm not sure if he was there for the bombing. I think they ended up discharging him after a while, so. But yeah, we'll have a look at some of those stories when the time comes for that. Other than that, that's really about that for everything I have. I think we've covered off the vast majority of things that have happened in the last couple of weeks.
Pretty eventful.
Yeah. Hopefully normal things will resume next week and we will do normal weekly podcasts.
Yeah.
And I am still looking away, working away in the background of trying to get some guests on the show.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. And yeah, we'll keep going from there. Anything else?
About Russia and the Ukraine thing.
Mm.
I kind of feel bad because there's lots of support for Ukraine.
Yep.
All very good. But all the people in Russia, you know, the just civilians, just people living there.
Yep.
They don't want any of this war. You know, they're getting a lot of bad stuff happening to them because, you know, companies aren't sending stuff over there. Yeah. And I've seen online a bit of what I would call racism almost, pretty much.
Mm.
Like, you know, you're a Russian and people are like, shut up, commie, or, you know, you're Russian, shut up.
Yeah, look, it's a huge risk for those things to happen. And, you know, I've seen it in other conflicts and stuff like that where, you know, the people... Your average person isn't part of it.
Yeah.
You know, the Middle East is the same. Most of the people normally in the Middle East, they're not part of that.
Yeah.
Not their war. They're not fighting it. They don't want it. And I think it gets a little bit unfair. Like, people start attacking people, and that's wrong. Like, if you're opposed to Russia, that's fine. You're opposed to Russia's government and Russia's leadership.
And Putin, mate. And
yeah. I mean, but he's got fucking generals and shit. You know, they're not immune to it. But if you're opposed to Russia as a whole, then you're opposed to Russia's government and Russia's leadership, not the Russian people.
Yeah.
You know, and even the soldiers. Like, I feel for some of those soldiers, because some of those soldiers are probably there doing something they don't want to do.
Yeah.
Like, they're not all fucking huge killers.
There is a couple that, you know.
Oh, there is. You will get some that are full into it. And you get that in any freaking nation, in any war, you'll get people that are absolute, you know, almost extremists. Like, they are absolutely committed to that war.
Yeah.
And then you get others that go, it's not my fucking war. I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
And that's difficult all around. And it's more difficult when it's very hard to get the truth. And you see it so much. Like there's been so many tales of videos and stuff that are being released about attacks and fighting.
Yeah.
It turned out to be video games.
Yeah, with what was it, the Ghost of Kiev?
Yep.
You know, for a while I thought like, oh, that's cool as, you know, the first ace in Europe since World War II.
Mm.
Turns out it's fucking Armour 3 footage.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
From Armour 3. Like,
yeah. And you look at some of the information around the soldiers on Snake Island, the people defending Snake Island.
Yeah.
You know, we've all seen the go fuck yourself thing.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic, and that is true, that engagement did happen.
But I don't think they died.
But it's well, the Ukraine government is saying they haven't. The Russians are saying they surrendered. So by all accounts, I think they're still alive.
Yeah.
To whether they just openly surrendered or whether they fought, really hard to say. And to be fair, if you're manning a base and you don't have anything to take on a warship, you've got one or two choices.
Yeah.
You surrender or you die. Like, they're your choices. You're not... If you've got a freaking assault rifle, you're not taking down a warship. You're just not.
Yeah.
Right? It's not fucking Steven Seagal, and it's not a fucking 1980s fucking movie about some fucking superhero, right? It's real war.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, it's believed that they've surrendered, but they took down all their infrastructure and stuff, so it's not being clearly communicated. But
yeah,
there's so much information that isn't true that it muddies the potential for good, real information to come through that is true.
Yeah.
And then all the shit gets in the way, and that makes it really hard for everybody. It makes it hard to understand the true implications of the war. It makes it really hard to actually understand what's happening. You only see bits and pieces of things. You don't see things holistically, and it makes it really, really difficult. And it's because things are so easy to obtain, and then once a bit of information is out there, true or not, it's out there.
I'd say another thing is like propaganda from both, you know, Russia and Ukraine.
Yeah.
And make up, you know, the Ghost of Kiev thing.
Yep.
It was good propaganda for the whole world until it came out to be false, and then
And you know, you most of the world probably support the Ukraine anyway,
except for Tasmania. Apparently, they don't.
Yeah, well, just Tassie. But you want to have, you know, you always want to fight for the underdog. Everyone always does.
Yeah.
You know, and the Ukraine are the underdog, got a monstrous, friggin' nation taking them on, but you know. The truth has to be had. Like, there has to be truth in stuff. And even some of the news and the media outlets are not telling the truth.
Yeah.
And that makes it even worse, because most people rely on that as fucking truth, and most of the time it's not. And there's even journalists over there. Like, there's an Australian veteran over there who's a journalist, a freelance journalist. And he's been trying to, you know, show the world what's happening over there and show the truth. And the Australian friggin' media didn't want to pay him for his stories. He's a freelance journalist, right? That's his income.
Yeah.
They just started stealing his fucking stories and treating him like just some dude on Facebook. And it's like fucking, you know, how they do news articles on some fucking influencer didn't like the packet of mints she brought from Woolworths and shared her outrage, and it's a fucking public. It's not. It's just some dimwit on Facebook. That's how they're treating it. It's just like, oh, it's just some dude on Facebook. We'll just proxy share the story and make our own news article. And it's like, no, that's fucking wrong.
Yeah.
Like, he's a journalist in his own right.
You know, like, pay
the fucking, yeah, in a war zone, pay the fucking fee. You want the story, pay the man.
Yeah.
And then share the fucking truth. Like, if you want to get his version of truth out there, pay him exclusively and just have him report through your media stream. Right. Like, trying to steal the story takes away the value of it. But there are people over there who are trying to share the truth.
Yeah.
But there's so much misinformation that's out there that people buy into, because, like, you want the Ghost of Kiev, right?
You want to believe that.
That's a brilliant thing. Like, it's just, like, because everyone wants it. Everyone always wants to have that one person fucking fighting, that solo fucking fighter taking on the world type thing. Like,
yeah.
Everyone loves that. It's in the movies. It's a fucking... lifts people up. It doesn't help when it's not true.
Yeah.
You know, if it was true, fucking brilliant. You know, and the soldiers on Snake Island, like, that's a big bold move to tell a fucking Russian warship to go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
You know, surrender or not, that's a big bold move, and that's, you know, that's huge. But it just shows that some of the misinformation can really make it worse.
Yeah.
And then that makes it worse for people not involved in it, because, you know, they try and stand opposed and say, I'm not, you know, this is not my war. Like all the Russian people going, this is not my war. I want no part of this. But because there's so much misinformation around, let's go, oh, you're just fucking part of the propaganda, and you're just fucking saying that and blah, blah, blah. Like, you can't, it's hard to.
There's people who, like, you know, say, oh, I don't like the Russians, and then they say that to just normal Russian people. I think they see the war as just like black and white. They see conflict as black and white. It's Russians are the bad commies that, you know, want to take over the world.
Yep.
Ukraine and America are the democracy free country.
Yeah.
They don't see it as, well, yeah, Russia's doing this, but there's also, you know, there's obviously going to be people who don't agree with it.
Yeah.
You can't put them all under the same.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't be tarring everyone with the same brush.
Like, yeah.
It's like all the fucking countries. There's probably countries, you know, all those countries that said we're going to support the Ukraine. There's probably plenty of people inside those countries go, no.
Yeah.
We don't want you doing that. But you won't see that.
Yeah.
And I think there's just that misinformation doesn't help anyone's battle whatsoever. It needs to just be truth, and then let the truth fucking decide the fucking outcome from there.
I'm interested to actually see what happens. Is Ukraine actually going to, like, win?
Well,
are they going to completely stop Russia from taking over the country?
Well, it's either win, or Russia withdraw, or Russia ignore everybody and just continue to push on. What will start to hurt Russia is the financial impact. So there's other impacts, you know, beyond all the car stuff. There's other financial impacts that are playing a very big part in it. So
yeah.
Russia's bank is no longer connected to the World Bank.
Oh.
So they can't receive or make payments now.
A little fun fact. Apparently the Russian ruble is one Russian ruble is worth less than one Robux.
Yep. Yep.
From Roblox.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to get worse because they don't have access to global finances now.
Yeah.
So they've cut them from that. So, you know, transactions and interactions with other countries now becomes fucking largely impossible. So that makes it even harder for them. So it'll either be Russia will bow to political financial pressure.
Yeah.
And withdraw to restore their economy, because you can only go for so long on your own money before you need to start getting it from somewhere else.
Because if they do take Ukraine and they get that, the natural gases and stuff, and keep supplying it to Europe, what if Europe just doesn't buy it? I mean, they probably won't be able to because they rely on it. They rely on Russia, but they could just say no.
Well, they could just say no. They could just stop.
Yeah.
And there's one big gas line, I think, going to Germany or something like that, that they've stopped the commissioning of.
Yeah.
That's not going live. So there's still a lot of implications, and it'll just be a matter of hoping the international financial pressure can be enough to stop it before it gets too bad.
I think it is good that the whole world's just kind of stopped supplying Russia.
Yeah.
Because then this is going to probably, you know, if any other countries want to wage war on another one, they might be inclined not to, because everything's going to go to shit, because the whole world is not going to support
much. Well, what they've got to take into account is, can I go and do everything I need to do with what I've got?
Yeah.
And can I not? And what's the impact of that?
Because, Russia's whole GDP relies on most of Europe.
Yep.
And then they're just going to go take over another European country and expect the rest of Europe to be fine with it.
And I think what they've realized is they're not.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them have just gone, we will stop doing everything. And there's a lot of stuff. And the bad thing about it is so much stuff is being restricted into Russia now that starts to hurt the general population.
Yeah.
So that starts to hurt families and stuff like that. Like, it's, you know, we talk about like fucking Bentleys and shit, but, you know, some of the basics aren't even starting to get in.
Yeah.
And that's when it starts to get bad. That's when it really starts to hurt. And the thing that worries me about a nation like Russia is they're sort of willing to have their people struggle. They're sort of used to it.
Yeah.
So you know, they'd probably just go, they're fine, they don't have food and water, they'll be fine for a while, and just carry on.
Yeah.
It needs to be those bigger things that need to impact them, you know, and then taking away their access to the World Bank and stuff like that. That's a big step, because that really, they'll really start to see their funds drain, you know, because they'll need to continue to buy, you know, fuel and ammunition
and the only way for them to get that will be making it themselves, because I don't think any other place in the world is going to give it to them.
Well, you'll probably have some nations like,
I mean, China.
China and probably India and Korea and, you know, Romania and Belarus and fucking all those other little ones, but they don't have heaps themselves. And, you know, Russia's certainly not going to, or China's probably not going to fucking hand over a lot to Russia.
Yeah.
So the last thing you want to do to one of your biggest neighbors is go, oh, here, have all our fucking guns. Because they go, oh, thanks for that. We're taking your country too.
So, I doubt that, but, you know.
But still, it's you got to balance it, though.
Yeah.
You really do. And you got to balance the implications from that. You know, it's not too many Chinese-built cars, I think, are going to make their way into Russia or Chinese infrastructure. Or
Chinese cars. You
know, stuff like that's going to make their way there. So, who knows?
Off onto another little tangent. I've found something that kind of fascinates me about this whole thing is, you know, we're all humans, you know? We're all the same species. We look different from each other. That's right. And the fact that a place that you're born in, which is completely random, you don't get to choose where you're born in, can decide, you know, your whole, like, you know, I hate this other person because they have a different flag and they live in a different shaped island.
Yeah.
It just kind of, it's weird because I was watching, okay, this is on a complete other, like, spectrum of intensity, but these Minecraft videos about, they just put these people under different, like, groups and different biomes, and then, you know, they make buildings, and then they, you know, fight each other, and then, or the ice place one, and it's all real people.
Yep.
And they all work together, and it's pretty cool to watch. And it's like, you know, all these people, most of them are like Americans or something, and just having a different colored name tag, they'll go and kill all the other people that have a different colored name tag.
Yep.
It's just weird how, you know, we do that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a,
just a color.
It's a really bizarre concept. That it makes it really hard to, you can't even explain it. Like, the thing that I always laugh at when I think about it is, imagine if you're trying to explain to a whole new planet how our planet worked.
Yeah.
And all the fucking social politics, you know, religion, all of it, the fact we fucking try and annihilate each other, even though we're one fucking planet in the fucking known universe and we don't know of anyone else, but we're happy to fucking kill each other and just start destroying our own race. It's like, it's just, you know, fixated on killing our own species. No other fucking species really does that to the scale that we want to do it.
I mean, maybe there could be some, you know, aliens we come across and like, oh yeah, we just came back from our planet. Oh, it's a fucking shit hole. You don't want to go there.
It's a shit fight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like driving into Logan going there. but yeah, it's it could be the same everywhere. It could be the one of the basis of a advanced species or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it is weird.
I think it's just the way that we're hardwired. You know, like, we've got the clans or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see another clan, they want our stuff.
Yeah.
We fight, so then they don't take our stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's on this bigger scale of countries. The countries fight, so then they don't take our stuff or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it could be. It could just be distrust
for other countries and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It could just be back to the our base programming or something.
Yeah.
To how we were initially. But hopefully all these conflicts, you know, resolve themselves pretty quickly. And
because of how much trade there is worldwide and stuff now, it's kind of hard to actually, you know, wage a war, try and take over another country, because the rest of the world's going to be like, we don't want you doing that.
Yeah.
So we're going to stop trading with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so
you lose everything.
Yeah, yeah. Just kind of cut every piece of trade. And if you're dependent on them for whatever that trade element is, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
Your choice is to just go about it. And if you can't go about it, you have to stop. And hopefully that's what happens. So, all right. Good. Anything else?
No, that's it from me.
No other random comments?
I'm going to go play Gran Turismo again after this, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Play it for a little while longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll try and get back on it later in the evening. All right, very good. Well, that's it. Thank you very much for listening. Hopefully we are back next week with no more storms and interferences, and normal programming will resume. So thank you very much and see you next time.
Thank you for listening. Goodbye.